We're finishing up with Ms. Reed Day. I don't know if anyone else had any more questions for you. It looks like an extra $70,000 from the Senate above your 115, did you have?
That's correct.
115,
extra. Well, 115, it'd be 35 and 35, so
yeah.
So it's 230 biennium. Is the base for the biennium for that grants program with a $70,000 increase is what.
And that was for the grants.
That grants out.
Mm-hmm. And the House fills in the federal hole.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be very powerful.
Right. Okay, any questions from anybody? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Then we wanted to hear for just a few minutes on the Dakota Ojibwe Indigenous Program. You want to come up to the table and did Harlan have to leave?
No.
This program, I gave the money for the Office of Higher Education. Hold on just a second.
Hi, I'm Margaret Boyer. I'm the director of the Alliance of Early Childhood Professionals, and our organization also staffs the Dakota Ojibwe Language Revitalization Alliance and runs a Dakota Ojibwe Language Revitalization Urban Immersion Project for preschoolers and kindergartners in Minneapolis. And
Hey, can we just have our staff maybe talk a little bit about the difference between what the House and the Senate did in this program? Do you want to do it, Mr. Burke?
Madam Chair, the Senate has on page 1 of the spreadsheet, line 31, the Senate has funded $150,000 a year for the Indigenous Language Grants Program. The House took a somewhat different approach. We have on page 4 of the spreadsheet, line 186, there is a $300,000 one-time appropriation for Dakota language instruction. And then within the university's request, I believe in the advancing education line, there is language for Ojibwe instruction at the University of Minnesota Duluth.
And that's an existing program.
I believe it is.
I'm
not sure.
Or a program the university had planned to do?
Well, it was in the request.
Education. Ms. Boyer, is it existing right now?
It isn't existing, but they hope to get it up and running soon.
Is that right, Ms. Peterson? And do you want to share with the committee some of your concerns about the Senate and House approach and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, committee members, I just wanted to suggest if we could do the $300,000 the first year that the House had and then add an additional $150,000 the second year, and that's because we have been able to talk to some foundations about matching what the Senate and House appropriates. But together, the two programs cost $1.2 million a year, and because the language is on the verge of extinction, especially the Dakota language, we were thinking that, well, with the $300 and then the $150, and then we have a match, that'll kind of help us to get started right away. And then we'll be able to match the rest of that the next year. And at the same time, we were thinking, well, if you're giving the India Center $500,000, but you're not even giving that much to the Dakota and Ojibwe languages that are indigenous to this language, we were going to ask for the same as what you were going to give to India Center at the U. But $450,000 would be great.
I thought it was the Indian Center.
I should say that Ms. Boyer and I did have a misunderstanding just in terms of talking about years and bienniums. we were talking about $300,000, and she thought we were talking about a year, and I thought we were talking about a biennium. Now, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean we would have had the money to do it, but we did have that misunderstanding earlier.
And we did meet to get a budget on what the $300,000 for the programs covers, and that covers, because it's not just creating a teacher who can teach the Ojibwe or Dakota language, it's creating a whole new teacher qualification where they learn to teach all the different subjects in Dakota and Ojibwe. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to save the language is to create immersion programming in early childhood going into the K-12 system. So with so many of the elders and so many of the holders of the language older, getting this teacher preparation program is vital, because it's going to take several years for people to go through the programs. And we really need to get them up and going so that they'll be ready to start having immersion teachers at different levels that are also teacher qualified and certified.
How many people are still, are there that are still fluent Dakota speakers?
There's 14 Dakota fluent speakers at the last count, and one of our own Dakota speakers from Sioux Valley just died from a heart attack that we had brought down from Canada. So for us, it feels especially critical to move as quickly as possible on this.
And those were 14 that were born speaking Dakota. That's their first language. Are there any other, there are other younger people that have been trying to learn the language?
Right, there are a cadre of young people that are have been working on learning the Dakota language, but they've been learning the language, but they haven't been learning the skills that you need to be a teacher. And so part of our project, every 2 days a week, we take all our student speakers that we put together with a fluent speaker. We have a mentor apprenticeship team that teaches in the classrooms. And then for an hour and a half, twice a week, we do training on classroom management, discipline. We found out, like, just giving people Play-Doh and say, here's some Play-Doh you can use. They don't necessarily know how to use it. You have to show them, you know, different things that you can do with Play-Doh to learn letters and, you know, how to talk the language in a early child development and a kindergarten strategy. We call it total physical response, so that because the kids are coming into the classroom where they don't know the language. So when you're immersing them in a language they don't know, you basically have to act out everything you do. So we do techniques like teaching them to learning how to do charades while they're talking, and you know, how to kind of act out what they're saying, and you know, how to do art projects or singing or drumming or do math projects where you're kind of acting out while you're talking in the language so that they can learn the kindergarten readiness skills.
Do you want to join us? Yes, introduce yourself for the tape. Tell us where you're from.
Madam Chair, Harlan LaFontaine, along with I work for the Dakota Ojibwe Language Revitalization Alliance.
Could either of you maybe just talk briefly, maybe everyone else already knows this as well, what has happened over the generations that the language has been lost? Why hasn't it been passed down from the elders?
generationally, Madam Chair, the boarding schools stand out as one of the highlights as to the disintegration of the languages. With that said,
what do you mean the boarding schools?
Well, the boarding schools, with the policy of assimilation, speak only English, and if you do speak your native language, Ojibwe or Dakota, then there's some punishments that went along with that.
So young Indian children were sent to boarding schools, taken from their families and sent to boarding schools, and they weren't allowed to speak the language.
Yes, correct, correct.
And in addition to that, a lot of elders, out of love for their children and grandchildren, didn't teach them the Dakota and Ojibwe language because they didn't want them to experience the beatings and humiliation that they received when they were speaking the language. So there aren't many people in Minnesota that speak the language now.
Questions? Representative Black.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, and I carried the bill in the House, and it was actually a farther reaching approach trying to advance the language immersion for two reasons. One, to preserve the language, but also because of evidence that the language immersion program they were talking about improved or closed the achievement gap for Native students as well. Could you say a little bit about the work that you did that you kind of showed the difference in that?
Ms. Boyer.
Madam Chair and Mr. Chair and committee members, we, in January, we do, they're called the IGDIs, the Individual Growth and Development Indicators, and we have a control group to our preschool Ojibwe and Dakota children that are from the same community going to the same programs, but they're not in the immersion program. And the children in our immersion program, even though they're not immersed in English, the test that was given to them in English, they did twice as well as the other children, which is what the research is showing all around the world, in New Zealand with the Maoris and Hawaii with the Hawaiian language. And there's been a resurgence of the Celtic language. And I know some of the people up in the Iron Range are some of the last speakers holding some of the Croatian languages and the other languages up there. So we've just found a really strong connection to language and culture and academic achievement.
Any other questions? Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ron, you said that you will go out and seek matching funds. Have you talked to some of the tribes? I'm thinking of the tribe in my district in Shakopee, and I would think that they would be very interested in supporting a program like this. But do you have any idea what kind of contributions you can expect from the non-public sector, not from the state?
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, we are talking with Shakopee. In fact, they have two speakers that work, that they have hired to work down there, and they come and meet with our speakers for the training. And we are talking to them. We are working together with them for immersion program, and we have begun the discussion about helping to fund Dakota language teacher training program. But we haven't gotten down to commitments or anything, but there is interest there. And just to add one more thing, there's a lot more than teacher training that we need funding for. We have to do We're in the process of trying to translate 100 books and then getting them copied. There's curriculum that needs written. There's a huge amounts of translation that needs written. There's setting up the immersion programs around Minnesota. There's a lot more expenses that are part of this besides the teacher training program.
Ms. Boyer, Mr. LaFontaine, are there different dialects among the Dakota tribes in southern Minnesota, or are you going to try to develop kind of a standard?
Madam Chair, Representative Rukumina, there are different dialects. The Minnesota dialect is a D dialect, and there's an N dialect and an L dialect. Lakota, Nakota speakers. When I say Dakota, Kahatoa, Minnesota at Wakantua wa unspe kihena o wicha unkiab. What I just said is a D dialect, and that is like we're trying to help the Dakota and Ojibwe students at the University of Minnesota increase their speaking abilities. So,
it's a D dialect.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, yes, Representative
Dye. One last comment. One of the things that I learned in part response to Senator Roebling's question, it's a more complicated issue working with the various bands and tribal groups, which I think we learned it. And then on top of that, there's the Indian community within the urban area, which isn't necessarily isn't necessarily related directly to the various groups that might want to have a program of their own on their own reservation. So it makes it more complicated, and that's part of the reason I think that a larger approach was brought forward, but that's still something that the politics of it all needs to be worked out, and hopefully over the years we'll work something out.
Is the Dakota language or the Ojibwe language taught on any reservations?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, they are Prairie Island is starting one, and they're using the phrasalators, and along with trying to get some programs started, Shakopee's starting. Yeah, I would say all four of the Dakota programs are at different levels of trying to get something started. All of them have language tables where people get together at least once a week to learn and practice and speak the Dakota language around the table. And I know in the urban area there's quite a few language tables. But
not starting in preschool.
Right. Immersion in a language table is really different in how intense it is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And then I did want to hear more about the TEACH program. We did have a hearing in the Senate, so if those folks want to come up on this. And I actually thought it sounded more like it fit in the Economic Development Committee. And I told Senator Tomasoni, who was the author, that why doesn't he fund it in his division?
You got more money.
And he felt like it fit more in higher ed, and you funded it in your bill. So maybe I just didn't have a clear understanding of what the goals were. So. Mr. Berg, you want to tell us what does the House do here?
Madam Chair, the House has $500,000 a year for that.
Is that in the base?
That is a one-time appropriation.
That's what you're. Okay. Welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ann Kaner-Roth, and I'm the Executive Director of Child Care Works. And just to introduce this proposal, I did just want to let the committee know that this is a project that's been in place now for 5 years without any state dollars to date, and is something that is very widely and strongly supported by the early childhood and child care community. I'm going to pass the mic to Ms. McCulley to talk more in detail, but I did want to let you know that there's a broad scope of folks around the state that are very interested in advocating for this proposal and very hopeful that Representative Bly's work and Representative Rukavina's work will result in the conference committee adopting the proposal. So with that, I'll just pass the mic to Mr. McCulley.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ann McCulley. I'm Executive Director of Child Care Resource and Referral Network, and we are the home to the Teach and Retain programs. Madam Chair, would you like a brief overview of the program, or do you want to just move into questions?
Why don't you give us a brief overview?
Okay, sure. And this might get at some of what you were mentioning, Madam Chair, because first and foremost, TEACH is an early childhood scholarship program. It is meant to help early childhood care and education providers, heavy emphasis on child care providers, go back to school and get a higher ed degree in early childhood development. We see this as not only a way to strengthen the quality of the workforce, but also to keep good providers in the field working with the same children. One of the requirements is once you've had a degree, once you've gone through the TEACH program, you need to stay in the same place of work with working with the same group of children. So it ensures continuity of care, which is incredibly important in terms of really care and education. During the last academic year, we awarded nearly 200 scholarships to child care providers, and on their behalf, we purchased roughly 2,200 undergraduate credits. We also helped them with the cost of their books and paid them a small travel stipend. As a result of their increased education, these workers saw an average increase of 9% and reported a turnover rate of less than 3%, which is very, very low compared to the nearly 30% turnover rate we see in child care as a whole. Since the inception of the program 5 years ago, we have paid $820,000 in tuition to about 30 public and private colleges. Over 600,000 of this went to the MNSCU system. 370 students have pursued an education on one of the TEACH scholarships. We pay the college directly, and we work with other sources of financial aid to make the college as affordable as possible for these students. And then our staff often go out and talk to early childhood classrooms to talk to them about opportunities. And we're just starting to utilize some of our scholarship recipients to also act as mentors in this program. Finally, once they've earned a degree, then they're eligible to apply for a retain grant. And really, the retain grant is meant to keep, again, the good, well-qualified providers in the field working with that same group of children. So that's a brief overview for you of the program.
Can you say how much of the request would go to scholarships and how much is for retention?
Madam Chair and members, it's a blended pool right now of funds. A portion of it, one of the things that we have not been able to do a lot of work on, for instance, is some of the outreach effort. I would say less than 30% right now of the funding goes into staff. We've cut the staff down to about 2.5 FTEs. The rest, about 300,000 of it right now, I want to say, goes into scholarships, and about that same, a slight bit more right now, goes into retain grants. But I think we can adjust those dollars if we have extra dollars to spend.
So does it depend on requests? The money is kind of fungible, or would you want to have like a hard divide of half and half?
Madam Chair, one of the things we think might be coming is a growing request, number of requests for the scholarship end of things, with the expectations around the quality rating system, mm-hmm. with the growth of the new scholarship and allowances and many other programs like that on the table. We suspect and have already started to see a growth in the inquiries for scholarships, right. because there'll be a demand for higher, more quicker ways to show quality of a program, and one of those is professional development and degrees.
It does seem like if we're moving into a stronger early childhood system that we need to build the infrastructure. Senator Roebling and I were talking about that, and Senator Berglund actually was mentioning that that's going to be really important.
We suspect so, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Cavina. Senator Roebling.
Thank you. When you said that we haven't funded you with public dollars yet. Where are you getting your source of funding now?
Sure. Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, majority of the money is coming from the quality dollars that come from the Child Care Development Block Grant, the Federal Child Care Development Block Grant. A portion of that is expected to be spent on what is broadly termed quality, and that's where we're getting the dollars. Some private dollars. At the inception of the program, we had a fair amount of foundation money, but over 5 years, a lot of those foundations have basically said, now it's time to find some other funds, as they often do. And many other states that run this program have state as well as federal dollars.
Ms. McCulley, do you have a request for this in any other budget, in human services or anything, any place else?
Madam Chair and members, no, this is the one proposal that's in place in any of the conference committee reports right now.
Was your request to the higher ed committee or the workforce development committee over here? Because we were both, so I mean.
Madam Chair and Representative Rukavina, the bill was originally referred to the Higher Ed Committee in the Senate, and it was, I believe it was laid on the table for possible inclusion in that bill. It certainly could have been then referred to the Workforce Development Committee, but what was not formally referred there, to my knowledge.
Okay.
And, you know, it was never got out of your committee.
Well, I know it's not a
question. I want to blame you.
Representative Reiner.
Madam Chair, in our committee, Minsky did testify on behalf of this bill. The Minnesota State Mankato staff came and visited with at least some of the representatives on the committee about it, and there was Minsky testimony, so I think they see it as a higher ed partnership. For what that's worth.
Any other questions for the Conferees? Okay. I mean, from the Conferees.
Madam Chair, did you want us to ask some questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Representative McFarland.
Madam Chair, these quality grants, do they come from the federal government to the state to be appropriated, or?
Correct, Madam Chair and Representative. It's up to the Department of Human Services to propose a plan each year for those quality dollars, and they submit that through the process and then are administered primarily through the Department of Human Services.
And Representative Fly.
Just a comment. I had met with some of the child care workers in my district in both the centers and just in private places, and they, you know, these are dedicated workers who love what they do. They love the children and the families they work with, and there really isn't that much in the system right now to help them move up and this is a way to help them do that, help them earn more and become more knowledgeable in the work that they do, and I like many measures in it and was very proud to carry it in the Thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Pretty much on time. I know Senator Latz has evening plans with his wife, and I bet Senator Michelle does too.
I'm late.
Representative Rutabina. Do we have a target?
I don't have any plans with either one of them.
That's good.
Lucky for you.
Here for the record.
I know you're single, though, now.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rutabina, do we have any targets?
We don't
Lucky
have,
for my wife.
We don't have any targets that I know of yet, so why don't we plan on meeting at 10 o'clock Monday morning, if we do by this weekend have some targets, is that okay with the senators?
I wonder what time session is on Monday.
10.
I thought I heard 1.
In the Senate.
Session was
we aren't
1.
In until 12:30.
I heard 1 o'clock.
Well, I suppose I could leave at 4 in the morning.
I
got to get my iron range fixed or I'll be crabbier than I might be. They usually like to stay and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. When I want to be down here, it's my Freedom to Breathe Act is going home where the air is clean. So, you know, 10 o'clock Monday morning is my intention. Okay, I'll compromise it at 9. Is that fine? And we're not going to meet at all, members and people in the audience, if there's no targets.
How are we going to know?
Well, we will keep in touch with you.
Did my staff pass around a request for everyone's cell phone number?
We should get it.
Please leave the cell phone number, and then we'll share that with all the staff so that we have everyone's cell phone number. And in case there's any changes, and everyone else, please watch the email. You should all be on the listserv.
Mr. Gelman will send on an email to all of you, and you have your computers, I imagine, at home.
Tentatively 9 o'clock, you're saying, on Monday morning?
We'll meet at 9
But I think if we get targets tonight, we should meet. But it's he's got the gavel.
When? Senator Lance has plans with his wife.
The meeting's adjourned. Just got that. Okay.
Ron! I'm going to tell her that you have plans.
What?
I'm going to tell her you have plans.
I'm going to go.
No, I have to go.